Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and today we're thrilled to have back on the show Marnie Olson and Carolyn Marshall of Cosmic, I've just forgot the name.
Playhouse,
that's it, Cosmic Playhouse. They are astrologers that bring understanding to the universe with a twist of comedy, and they both have acting background. They're both very creative. They've been on the show several times before, predicting and talking about the U.S. chart and other topics. So we're really thrilled to have them come on today to talk about the upcoming Venus retrograde in Leo. We're already in the pre-shadow period. Before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our show. We've got some really great episodes coming up, and next week we have our friend clairvoyant and healer Angela Zane coming up, and she's going to be fun to chat with as always. And then in 2 weeks' time, a show we've been looking forward to for a couple months now is our two-hour UFO special, and we're going to have author Preston Dennett on and contactee Dolly Safran, and for the first time, Earl Anderson, who is the Southern California director of MUFON, and it will be co-hosted by Matt Apsher. He'll be here to sit in with Krista, so going to be a lot of fun, that one, and that's going to be 2 hours. Get all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-I-X-T-H, all spelled out. And while you're there, if you can afford to, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi. But one of the best things you can do is go to YouTube, click like and subscribe, and help us grow our subscriber base. And that really makes us happy to see that continue to grow. And thank you to all of you who have done so. So I don't want to take up too much more time today because we've got so much to cover. So I'm going to kick it back to you. So take it away, Krista.
Thanks, Michael. And welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi. Hey, good to be here.
Yay. The three of cups, as you said earlier. So I thought maybe let's talk a little bit exactly when this is happening and a little bit first about what this cycle, why this cycle is important in terms of the length of the Venus synodic cycle in general, to give everybody just a little bit of a background.
Marnie, you want to start or you want me to go? You got the dates?
I have them, yes. So, I mean, because we are already, we've gone into the shadow period, right? And then so that started on June 19th. Venus is going to station retrograde on July 22nd. And then station direct on September 3rd. And then completely come out of shadow, I think, October 7th, I think. So that's the full scope of what we're looking at, with the actual retrograde period being July 22nd through September 3rd.
And then I briefly looked back at the whole Leo Virgo retrograde. It goes back in 8-year cycles, and this is the first time it started in Leo in this particular 120, I forget how many it goes through a sign. One of the things about Venus in its cycles, it stays in about 5 different signs for a long period of time. So I just noticed this is the first time it actually started in Leo, late degrees Leo, instead of Virgo in terms of the retrograde.
Yeah, even the last one we had still a little bit of Virgo energy, but this time it's all Leo all day.
Exactly.
And all night.
So Caroline,
morning and evening, yeah.
We were talking a little bit about just the whole cycle of Venus before the show too. So tell us how you feel about the importance of Venus in this particular regards, and not only as a personal planet, which of course is still important.
As a world, from world astrology point of view?
Sure.
Well, Venus was the only, the big the big star, the big planet. They called it the morning star and the evening star. To them, to the ancient astrologers, I mean, to people, it was a star. It's really not. It's a planet, right? So it's a morning star and evening star. So we can. It's synodic. Revolutions are very symmetrical and very, very beautiful. And as an astrologer, there's so much information in this pattern, and it's kind of overwhelming. It's a lot, but to try to drill it down into little bite size sound bites here. Right now we're at a Leo retrograde. And I think this Leo retrograde periods that we have maybe every 8 years are even more so big world retrogrades. In other words, we've got the personal, Venus, which is, our daily lives, how it affects us. Then we have it, how it affects the world. Well, I think this Venus retrograde period is really big for the world, because it oftentimes conjuncts Regulus, and Regulus is the fixed star, and it's called the kingmaker or the little king, right? And not to get too in the weeds here, but Regulus has been in the constellation of Leo for 2,000 years, right? And it's basically imperialism, it's royalty, and but now in 2011. Regulus went into Virgo after 2,000 years. So sitting right zero Virgo, right? And now today, this morning, last night, Mars conjuncted Regulus, right? And it's conjunct right now in the heavens. And Venus is really close by, and so is Black Moon Lilith. And the reason, so Regulus is the entire kingdom, right? That's why when the Venus is in the Leos, Leo retrogrades, the world leaders are all, we have kings rising and falling, and these really dramatic imperialistic dynasties. but this is what, when I saw that last night, I was like, oh my God, Mars, I had to turn on the news. I said, what's going on? And of course, the NATO summit is today, right? And Biden met with King Charles. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, how much more on the nose can you get than, Mars, the king's meeting, right? Yeah. You have the meeting of the kings. And that was yesterday. And it was exactly, it's right now in the sky, right? So Mars and Regulus are hanging out. And there was also a lot of news about the military and what was going on with the Marines and the commander. They actually at this point don't have a commander in chief in the Marines right now, that that's what it's called, because of some political, what did they do yesterday? Anyone remember that? It was on the news about the Marine commander who, Tommy Tuberville, blocked his...
Where they're having to have an acting commandant because he's... Oh, Tommy Tuberville. Yeah. I barely understood it because I don't understand the hierarchy of the Marines or how
I only understood it in a astrological context, because I'm like, oh my God, that's Mars, right? Mars is the military. And all of a sudden now we don't have a military leader, right? We don't. I mean, symbolically of the Marines, right? And that happened when Mars conjunct Regulus yesterday. So see, that's what I'm saying about how, because of the Regulus connection with Venus and, the sun here, that's why it's a big time in world astrology. The world events are very dramatic, and and I think the change we're going from an imperialistic matrix that we've had for the last 2000 years to we're going to Virgo, which is basically, it's a feminine, it's the virgin, it's the servant of the people, not the king of the people, the servant of the people. So you'll see that kind of rising. We're seeing it rising now, the rise of the feminine also as well. But anyway, yeah, so it's a real big picture retrograde.
Well, and that brings up the point that one of the things that was emphasized in a lot of astrology books and things I've read is Venus has tremendous light, the planet. So wherever Venus lands, she's going to illuminate it. So in this case, she's illuminating Mars and Regulus. And so what she illuminates, she doesn't have control over, in the sense that it can be something very positive or negative, in that, you know, I'm bringing light to this particular area. And I thought that was a very interesting idea, because of Venus is, I think esoterically, I know she's seen as a very beautiful sort of, in terms of consciousness, that Venus has sort of arrived as a planetary being in terms of consciousness. And yet at the same time, whatever the light is, it could be something not so pleasant because, hey, we need to look at it. This is the light, right, and here it is, you know.
Yeah, and amped up in Leo, which is ruled by the sun. So I think that, you know, that light bringing is even more energized with the placement in Leo.
Totally.
Right. And I watched, did you guys, oh, we had watched the video with the Venus retrograde videos with, is it Nick Best? Is that his name?
Nick Dagan Best, yeah.
Missing Nick. And Dagan Best. And they were taught, they did a really great, it really helped me a lot. They had laid out, it was Chris Brennan's show on the astrology podcast, shout out to him. But he had done all the past retrograde dates for the, you know, last few years.
Oh, yeah, that was super
and,
cool.
Yeah, and now there's something that they talked about that happened in the last retrograde period, which was in July of 2015. And I loved this. I thought it was very beautiful. And that retrograde conjuncted Jupiter. So Jupiter and Venus were conjunct, right? Mm. In Leo. And that was on the day that of the conjunction, I believe, or the day of the retrograde. That was the Oberg Fell Hodges same-sex marriage.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so that was really beautiful. So like literally he said the next day, you know, there was all of these same-sex marriages. But the thing is, I thought it was really, I'm like, oh, wow. So all these same-sex marriages were done during a Venus retrograde. And I always say, you know, the traditional astrology is like, you don't want to get married during a Venus retrograde period, right? Mm. And I thought, I was thinking about that. And then I realized that that same year, that same month, and we had a zero, it was at that retrograde, it was, check this out, that retrograde in 2015, was it 0 degrees Virgo, exactly conjunct Regulus, exactly. Hmm. Okay, stationed retrograde right on top of Regulus. Now that month was the month that Donald Trump came down that escalator and declared his, yes. And now this is the kingmaker, right? And I remember at the time being worried about that going, oh my God, this is Regulus. Ooh, I hope he can't possibly be president because his, but it's like, ooh, Regulus, that was very, and that was when it was right before it went in its shadow. And right. So Trump and Pence became the candidates for, you know, the you know, the next, the election in July, officially during the retrograde period. So we had that 0 degrees Regulus. And I thought it was interesting that those two events happened at the same time. Okay. Stay with me a second. Like the gay marriage, you know, event happening with the Supreme Court, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And Trump and Pence rising with Regulus, right? The kings at the same time. Now that was 8 years ago. We're back here and we're back at this point. So Trump came down that escalator in 2015 and that's with his ascension with Regulus. And we are 8 years later, right? And it's going to we're going to conjunct Regulus again. Right now it's happening, right? So I think this symbolically, if I were to, you know, be, you know, bold about this, symbolically, the rise and fall of a king, right? Because in Regulus, when they say the native born in Regulus is, you know, the king who this person will rise to be a king, but if they do not, if they don't serve the people, if they don't serve God or serve only themselves, they will fall. Okay, so we're seeing this very dramatic kind of, you know, situation here. With so I think that's good, and I think that we're watching it fall. We're watching it fall, but it's scary because as Trump rose at the same time that the you know, the gay marriage and the, you know, the very progressive, beautiful thing, but right now they're experiencing sort of their Venus return, and so the gay marriage I think is being threatened. I really do.
Yeah, that's a huge part of what I wanted to talk about, because when I was like looking at those dates, I'm like, that's an 8 year cycle. And there's also that whole thing about, you know, because they did also talk on that podcast about marriages, how frequently they end after 8 years. And, You know, I think that sort of ties in with that whole quote unquote, the 7 year itch. And like you get after 7 years, you start to kind of squirm and go, is this really working for me? And at that 8 year mark, a lot of marriages do fall apart. And I think it's just, it is really interesting seeing, like, I think about that, like, dissension on the escalator was his ascension into power. And now he's just like, all of this light is shining on everything he's done wrong. And I keep wanting that to be his downfall, you know?
No, okay, I forgot to add, the reason Trump's ascendant is 29 degrees.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Exactly, conjunct Regulus. Yeah. That's why all of us astrologers were like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know?
He also has Mars in Leo.
It can't be. And we were like, yeah, right. So it's, so right now, yes, they're all conjuncted. They're all, and you know who else is there? Hello, Black Moon Lilith. Come on, here she is. Black Moon Lilith is at 28 degrees. Her and Venus are going to conjunct, you know, and she's a trauma queen, right? She's coming in. It's going to be one big hot mess of a summer, y'all. Just embrace it. Just, you know, let Venus's fire burn you down.
Hot mess girl summer.
Hot mess girl summer and trauma girl summer. Her and Venus are getting together. They're conjuncting.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and you know who, where they're conjuncting? Right on top of Donald Trump's ascendant, exactly, with Regulus. So it's not really the kingmaker, it's the queenmaker, and it's the black queenmaker, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, the.
You know, it's also interesting, it's not exact, but the U.S. has a Leo North Node, California has Leo North Node, LA has Leo North Node, but it's a little earlier than but still, at least it's thematically. And I just find it interesting that we have a Leo North Node as a country. It's in the, at least the chart I use, in the eighth house of all things. And so,
well, yes, the leaders too. We've always sort of been, you know, trying to be the leaders in the world.
Right.
You
know? But yeah, the when I looked at his ascendant, I was like, 29 degrees, that's crazy. Uh-huh. I mean, that's like so exact astrologically.
But check this out. Biden has North Node at 29 degrees, Leo.
Oh.
So that's why when it was the Biden-Trump, I'm like, oh my God, you do have these two, like, I mean, but, you know, it conjuncted Biden's North Node. And so that it's happening now. And what's happening now, he's on the world stage. He's over at the NATO summit right now as we speak. And he's talking to kings and world leaders. And so Regulus is sitting right on top of his North Node. So he is really in a position of, you know, and he's very, very, he's always been very underestimated. I think that's his superpower, but he is in this position of the leader right now. And so we'll see, because you have sort of that, you know, if the king serves the people, you know, then they don't fall. But if you have them, like the other ones that don't. And it's interesting because Zelensky has Saturn at 28 degrees Leo. And so his, that's getting activated. And he was, and last year, during the invasion, when he rose to power, that was on the Leo full moon at 27 degrees Leo. And that conjuncted his Saturn. So, but, you know, it's really interesting because he, and it's funny, that was the name of his show he was on. It was called Servant of the People.
Oh,
and
wow.
And ironically, that was his comedy show that he was on. He was just, you know, this actor who became the leader, the elected leader. But when that point, that Regulus point conjuncted his, you know, his Saturn is already there. Saturn is there. It's like he rose up, and he always says he's a servant of the people, which is so, like, that's why I think he's doing it the right way as far as, you know, Regulus.
Now, I did want to talk a little bit, since we're talking about sort of power and war, about Venus's dual personality, which some people may not be aware of, though it's definitely become more popularly known that Venus has two aspects as a morning and evening star. Just jump in, either of you, and let's talk about that a little bit.
I think Caroline.
Well, when she comes out, I'm going to take this because
of the line.
Yeah, I was really playing around with this a while because I was looking at the last Venus retrograde. Not Venus. Yeah, the last Venus retrograde was in Capricorn, and that was when the invasion of Ukraine took place. So right it was right in the shadow period. Okay. Now remember, this is in Capricorn. This was a year and a half ago, 18 months ago. No, more than, yeah, that would make sense, right? Yeah, the last retrograde. I was looking at that last retrograde, not the last retrograde in Leo, but the last retrograde that, you know, in Capricorn, which was in January and February, December and January of, you know, 2020 and 22. What happened when Venus came out of her shadow period, conjuncted Mars, and remember Pluto was at 29 degrees, mm-hmm. and it was like a 27 degrees, conjuncting the USA's chart. So our stuff is all tied up in here with this event that happened. Mm-hmm. But what happened is when Venus came out of the retrograde, she turns into a morning star. And guess who she hooked up with? Exactly, at 29 degrees, Mars. Mars and Venus in March. That's when all of the really aggressive attacks on Ukraine happened. It was like, oh my God. So that's why I was like, oh, she is the morning star. Now this time she comes out of, she comes out as the morning star I have this written down somewhere. When does she come out? I think it's 18th, August 18th. So I'm looking a lot around that time in August. That's kind of the sounds of war. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. she's going to come out and she's on fire. She's in Leo. And this is about world leaders and kings and Regulus. So it's going to be quite the show. But I think the key thing here, the operative word here is show, because it is Venus in Leo. This mm-hmm. is all theater, right? It's a show. And so what'll happen is by the time we get into October and we have that eclipse, the huge American eclipse that happens in Libra, that's probably when we're really going to see, you know, that's going to be when it comes out, you know, to actually the reality of it, right? There's going to be a lot of heads rolling at that time. But yeah, so Venus as the morning star, she is coming out as a morning star on August 18th. We've got all of these, all of the world movement right now, and we've got the Putin and all of that situation. So that we probably will see some, there will be some, you know, the drums of war pounding here.
I do. Yeah. I didn't bring the quote, but there was something I read about one of the mythologies that the Mesoamerican, like, I don't know if it's Aztec or whatever, they really did a lot with Venus. And there was this period where during the retrograde, Venus descends into the underworld, turns into a man, and which is really interesting. I think that's like a cool transgender thing. And uh-huh. I don't know. I just thought, wow, Venus is even transgender. And,
oh, she is.
And so yeah. Then she comes out at a specific time. I think it's a time that you're saying it's like 8 days after the inferior conjunction and battles. And that is the Venus, mm-hmm. the darker Venus, the warrior Venus, that they would even plan battles and things around it because of the timing being so exact. I was really fascinated by that idea, and that they actually really believed it.
Right. And now this time, Venus coming out as a morning star in Leo with Black Moon Lilith there and Regulus. This is going to be, because the last time with a Capricorn, that was a lot of like very, you know, there's all this strategic stuff, all this Capricorn energy we had around that time. This time is going to be in Leo, and I think it's going to be all the world leaders. I mean, everyone's going to be volunteering for, you know, it's the king, the clash of the kings and queens.
Yeah, and that Capricorn energy is a lot more like those, like you said, strategic and like battle plans, you know, you're planning, right. You're strategizing, you're planning, yeah. Your move. Whereas Mars is like, okay, now we go, now we rush,
yeah.
Now we run into it and go for it.
And Venus and Leo is going to make sure, I mean, it's really going to be about everybody. We're going to see rise. I think this summer is going to be we're going to see a lot of rise and falls of leaders, like, and just them going at each other. Right now, it's really interesting because what happened also with Sweden, and that happened yesterday was with the Mars Regulus conjunction, right? And that's very much like a, you know, that's a warrior thing too, because they're becoming an ally with NATO. That's huge. That's, you know, that's like a, that's a war stuff, right? So, and also the leader of Turkey, Erdogan, they were kind of like, he was like, well, we don't want you to be in NATO. And then he changed his mind, and, you know, so it's like, yeah, we're going to see a lot of that with the leaders, because we're all looking at them. They're going to have to, you know, I think that having the light of Venus on them will show We'll show their colors. Totally.
And Leo is also fixed. So that would bring a certain sort of stubbornness to the situation, or which I don't know is such a great thing to have during a retrograde, but I thought about it. Leo's a masculine fixed sign with Venus, who's, you know, a goddess. And that to me creates its own tension.
Right. Right. Yeah. The sun in Venus, she's really close to him, to the sun.
I wanted to say that I think, especially because you just brought up the Venus being transgender, and how that I was looking at some things last night, and like historical events of the summer of 2015, and I'd totally forgotten this, and I probably wouldn't have known the date if I didn't look it up. But in June of 2015, the cover of Vanity Fair was Caitlyn Jenner. Just come out.
Oh, wow.
Remember, in the whole white, sexy corset, you know, was just like, call me Caitlyn. And she was out.
She's a queen. She's a queen.
Yeah. And it's like, and I know, like, she's gone down some, she's very politically just a disaster these days. But we don't need to get into all of that. But I just thought it was interesting that here was this thing, and it really got me thinking a lot about, you know, I think of Venus as being very tied in with the social consensus, like what the social rules are, what our consensus is, what we're sort of agreeing to socially, what we're on board with socially. It's like, and some of that is, it can be as simple and possibly inane as fashion trends, but it can also just be like what's kind of socially acceptable. And it was really profound that here was this person, when she came out, people were like, oh, this was, you know, before she was out, she was a, you know, this bastion of masculinity, you know, and here she is like out, and she's got her lingerie, and she's, you know, all pretty and on the cover. And it's all this talk about, oh God, you know, and yet through the years, it's like it helped change our social consensus, like for the average person, that like, okay, this is big news, right? This is big news. We're sort of accepting of this. And now here we are, you know, 8 years later, and they're going after trans people so hardcore. Yeah. And it's so intense. And it's like, it feels like this regression. It feels like we're going backwards. And I was thinking a lot about like retrograde, and how, like, you know, astronomically speaking, we say retrograde, and retrograde sounds like it's retro, it's back. And we know that the planet isn't actually moving backwards. It appears to be moving backwards. And so I think that there's something about that, like, we always say this, with Roe v. Wade and with gay rights and same-sex marriage and all these things, that we feel like they're rolling back rights. They're taking things away from us. They're taking us backwards. And all the angry women and LGBTQ community, everyone's screaming, we can't go back. We can't go back. And I think there's something too that, like, when that pushback, that social consensus happens, that pushback happens, it does shine a light on, whoa, we have more work to do. We're not going to stop progressing. We're not going to stop moving forward. You know, it's like, it's really important. And I think that, you know, that I just think that's a big and interesting part of the narrative.
Yeah, I want to add that this is something you can't really, I don't know, determine. But by looking through my old journals, in 8 year cycles, all the way back to 1991, one of the things about retrograde that is really, really true, it's an internal process. So even though these outer things are happening, it's reflected and reflecting long patterns of subconscious thought. And so in a way, we're not really going backwards. If you think about, even from the very beginning of the woman's movement, for instance, when you start reading it, women did not all agree on the vote. And there was also this difference between how Black women were treated in the women's movement and the rich white women. These are trends that are like 100 years old, some of them. So they're not technically, what it's reflecting is that we haven't changed enough on a deeper level. Even though we've tried to, we were like, okay, we're going to push the edge a little bit. Oops, nope. That's really, and I think that I would like to see how could we measure what's going on in the subconscious, except one way is through actually social media, by the way, because of everybody. If you read how people are treating each other and you read the emotions of people, none of this really surprises me. Roe versus Wade, the hatred that came out when Hillary Clinton, the misogyny, the level of misogyny against Hillary Clinton when she ran for president was over the top. I mean, all you had to do, read people's comments that they wanted to kill her. I mean, these things, it had nothing to do with her abilities. So how do we measure, you know, retrograde is a time, personally, I think it's a good time for anyone to sort of look at their own deeper, in an honest way, subconscious mind. And I think that what you're talking about is it looks like things are going backwards. To me, it just shows it never really went forward fully because we haven't yet, you know, take, and I'm not saying that in a judgmental way, but it takes a long time for human beings to change. We don't change overnight. You know, but it doesn't, and so it doesn't mean we don't make any progress, but it was something I've been thinking about. And also because when I went through my own journals and I saw these same seeds, these same topics over like a span of like, I don't know, I went back to like 1991. I was shocked. I mean, I wouldn't have ever remembered thinking some of these things, but I just happened to keep my journals. So I said, wow, that's incredible. I mean, I'm really talking about some of the exact same themes. Some of them are very silly even. But I said, that's really, to me, part of what retrograde is supposed to help us do is sink into, you know, the deeper subconscious. But I don't know how you could measure if we're doing that or not.
Well, you want to get personal, right? We're going to get personal. We can leave the world astrology for a minute.
Well, I think personal and political are together in this because of course, the issues. Of course. But yeah.
But
I think some of it is, I think a lot of what's going on with SCOTUS, it's like, these are big, big, horrible things that they're doing. And, but they're also, they're going against, they might be theoretically using the law, but they're really not playing by the rules. They're going against the social consensus, but it does, I think that's where the political and the personal, I think, are very tied in together here, is because you have to look at your own personal beliefs and, like, you know, what kind of, you know, internalized misogyny or homophobia or whatever do I have going on? And it's like, the more that this stuff happens out in the world, the more you have to, you know, if you have any consciousness about it, that you're going to look inward and go, wow, am I really okay with what they're doing? I'm really not, you know, like the fact is, like, I think a lot of this too, look at, like, we have Venus's, you know, she's retrograde. She's going to be, you know, she's going to be squaring Uranus. And it's like, I think there may be a drag queen battle. I don't know.
Right. She's going to be squaring Uranus, but she's also going to be squaring Jupiter. Yeah. And what the problem with that, not the problem, but the last time in 2015, when the gay marriage happened, she was conjunct Jupiter. Mm. Right. So now she's squaring it. So this is going to be the battle of the queens, and the whole idea of the Supreme Court, that is so okay. First of all, let's break that down for a second. Supreme, supremacy, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're moving away from that with Regulus going into Virgo. We're moving away from the idea of supremacy, white supremacy, male supremacy, whatever, that there's, you know, and it all trickles down, because in Virgo is everyone is equal, everyone is egalitarian. It's also feminine, right? Because it's a female sign. That's why I think it's going to be queens now, not kings.
Mm. and being of service to each other.
Yes.
We owe
Virgo wants to be to serve. Virgo, to serve. It, to be the servant of the people, by you can lead and serve. That's the only way to lead. You can't lead by serving yourself. You will destroy yourself. And we're seeing that happening. Like, it's kind of like a Shakespearean, we're going to have this Shakespearean like fall of kings this summer. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. I wanted to add something here really quickly about, we were talking about 2015, the last Leo retrograde on in the world stage. Netherlands, they were talking about this in the retrograde video on Chris Brennan's show. The Netherlands was the first country to legalize same-sex marriage. And I thought that was fabulous because he said something. He said, you know, it's not because Netherlands is really wildly progressive. It's because they're practical. And I thought, wow, that's it. Venus, she don't care about morals and all that religious stuff and all those ideals and stuff. She's very practical. Mm. It's a practical thing. You know, it's like, no, that makes sense. They should be married because legally, you know, it makes sense.
It just makes sense.
It's practical. Venus is practical. You know, and that's she's the ruler of Taurus. Mm. So we have so it's like Taurus and Libra. So Libra's more the idealized, symbol of justice and fairness. But she's also rules Taurus, and she's earthy and she's Taurus. And same-sex marriages make sense. Abortion makes sense. It's practical.
Right. You know, it is practical.
Maybe there's all of these like ideas.
Well, even prostitution legalized makes sense. It's safer.
Yes. It's practical.
Yeah, it's practical. So it's you don't have to agree with it morally, but it's definitely better for everybody if you were to make it legal.
And when she bumps up with Jupiter, which she's going to, Jupiter square, Jupiter does rule religions and, you know, philosophies and ideas. And it really is the religious, the religious right that is, you know, the anti-abortion and stuff. So her and the anti, you know, but it's not practical. I mean, they have these high ideals, but Venus is like, no, that's not practical. We're down here on the earth, you know,
trying to live our lives and, you know.
So now that they're squaring, they're going to be squaring this time. Mm. They're going, I think that battle for that battle is going to be played out very, very dramatically, I think, between the practicality. It's like, come on.
Jupiter's in Taurus. And then Jupiter's also like this will a lot of things are going to blow up, too. I mean, we got squares to Uranus and Jupiter. That's like a lot. But that Jupiter, too, is like it's like we're trying to expand the social consciousness and the religion keeps coming in and trying to tie it. It's like you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Because the genie is out and proud and she's a drag queen. You can't put her back in. Like, you can't do it. And that's what that religious shit is always trying to do.
Right. So I think that this time, that this retrograde, because they talked about the retrogrades, even though Venus was in Leo retrograde last time, it's not going to be exactly the same. It's going to be colored by all the aspects.
Right.
So the fact that it was, you know, that it was conjunct Jupiter and everyone was like, oh, yeah, I came here to, you know, it was also love, you know, it was always wonderful. But now it's squaring Jupiter.
Now we're out on drag brunch.
But it is, it is, but it is the natural synodic cycle.
Right.
Like, you go from the, you know, from the conjunction to the square to the opposition. So it's all the lesson, you know. So there's going to be some big lessons because Jupiter, you know, wants to teach everybody a lesson too. So
well, I've always thought about the square being,
you know, make love and get married. Come on.
The square aspect is interesting because in my experience of squares, I can never see what's coming. Because it's like running around the corner, you know. But at the same time, if you think of what a square, it's building something we can't see. You know, like it's partial, like if you look at a building and you have like you're starting to build the foundation and you have some of it put down, but you can't see yet what's going to happen. So I thought, well, maybe that's the positive aspect is that at least Kabbalah talks about creation being painful. And there's different, depending on what sephira you're in, there's some that feels better than the other, but they're all necessary. So there's a little bit of, you know, you think, well, maybe it's okay that Jupiter's squaring this Venus. Maybe it's here to show us, you know, kind of like what's wrong already, or we can't see what it's going to build ultimately. But it's just what I've been thinking more philosophically about the concept of square, that it's not necessarily, definitely I find it difficult myself because I just can't figure out what's exactly going to happen. Unless you, of course, when you live with a square in your chart, that's different. You learn something hopefully by working with it. But when you have things transiting, at least I find it difficult. Whereas oppositions, you can kind of see it, you know, it's opposing
right,
you know,
it coming at you, whereas the square is almost like a sucker punch. You're
right.
Like, it comes out the side. You're like, what was that?
Yeah.
It's part of the creative process. And that's really important right now because it's in Leo, right? Venus in Leo.
Mm-hmm.
The creative process is always, as soon as you start to bring in something new, to create something new, immediately you get the resistance, right? And there's all the fight for, you know, that to me is a creative tension. This is square. It's not good or bad or hard. It's something new is coming in and there's a resistance and, you know, and all of that happens, you know, in the creative process. You know,
right.
And so I think that plays really well here with the Venus been in Leo, because we're going to see a lot of celebrity action. You know, we're going to see some celebrity
there's
gonna scandals.
Be sex scandals.
Who's going to be the queen this time? Because last time it was
who's
Jenner.
Gonna be? Like, who's going to get a divorce or have a sex scandal or whatever? I think it's kind of interesting that Barbie with an edge.
I know.
Like, I know. I can't wait to see
Barbie
that.
With an edge.
Comes out during that. Yeah, with Black Moon Lilith too.
Yeah, I
think that we will have a queen rise this time. We'll see what it is.
Yeah, Madonna was ill, and she's a Leo. During this,
I didn't
look what was going on. I just saw it kind of briefly on Facebook, you know, and I thought, oh, she's a Leo. And I meant to look at her chart, but I didn't, you know. I said, well, that's kind of odd during the shadow period, I think.
Yeah, she's very much a queen.
Yeah.
And she's very much Black Moon Lilith, too, remember?
Yeah. Because she's been thrown out of the garden a bunch of times.
Yeah. And plus with all of her, how she goes about, you know, her Catholic upbringing.
Right.
She feels like she's been thrown out from the church. And, you know, that's very Black Moon Lilith. And it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think we're going to see something go down with her. I do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I meant to look at her chart, but haven't had time yet.
Always pushed like the boundary of what's socially, you know, acceptable. She's always done that, and that's why she got where she got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the queens this time, right, because I keep getting that Black Moon Lilith conjunct Regulus and Venus, and also with the Venus is also rules Libra, which is justice, right? So I was wondering if she wasn't going to be a social justice warrior. You'll have someone like Fonnie Willis, like who is in the justice,
yeah.
She is in the justice. She is a prosecutor. She is a queen of justice. And I think she will, I have a feeling, and it's not really a feeling. They are moving towards the indictment. She said it's going to come out between July 31st and August. And I thought, oh my God, right during her grade. And conjunct Trump's on his ascendant. And it's like, okay, so I think it's going to happen probably because that conjunction happens in August. And then there's that new moon in August coming down. That's going to be a big deal. That new moon in August, I think.
What is that in?
It's August. It's a Leo new moon. It's at 23 degrees Leo.
Ooh.
Yes. And that's right before Venus comes out. She's going to be her morning star a couple of days later. That's right before the bending of the Pluto and the nodes. So it'll be the new Venus. So the Venus conjunction will be the 13th of August. And the 16th will be the new moon, and she comes out as a morning star on the 18th. So I think she will be revealed then. And I think if an indictment comes down from her, it'll be around that moon. And, you know, that's a bold prediction. But because we also have two full moons in August. We have a full moon in August. Venus retrograde.
August
and
is going.
And Mercury's going to go retrograde.
Yep, and we got a three-week Mercury retrograde from August 23rd to September 3rd, I think.
Is it Earth sign this year?
I think the Mercury's in Virgo. Mercury's in Virgo.
You know, the other thing is there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of talk. You talked about this, Caroline. I've heard this other astrologers, how a lot of planets are moving into air signs. And the new Venus star point being in Libra, and then Pluto, I think it's still in Capricorn right now, but entered Aquarius this year. And so I was thinking about some of all of this change in terms of, like, you know, now that the retrograde, the whole thing about Virgo, and then also about Pluto and Aquarius changing the culture around kings and bringing things to the people.
Right.
That's a theme in various ways in astrology.
Yeah, it's a revolution. Yeah. And it is a revolution. I really do think on, you know, the whole, in the big picture of it, it's the fall of imperialism. I mean, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, this is a 2000 year cycle. So it's, and also with, you know, the new age going into Aquarius with the possession of the equinox. So yeah, but it's a process, and that's why we're down here. We're in this creative hot mess of a messy mess right now, because it's very creative. You know, it is. It's a new world is being born and our consciousness
is why it's hard.
Right. And with the air, the age of air was actually started with the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in Aquarius, which happened in December 2021, right? So that's the beginning of a 20-year cycle. But also all the other planets are going to be moving into outer planets are going to be moving to fire and air. We're getting out of this Earth, you know, this Taurus, you know, the heavy Earth, Taurus and Scorpio stuff, and we're going into air, air and fire. But, you know, so it is all about air now. Everything is, you know, we've got drones and, you know, AI. Everything is about really, you know, air. And we've got to kind of just, on top of all of that, I think that is going to be part of the, it's going to be democratizing too. I think that technology is going to help democratize, get us away from the imperialism, because especially with like cryptocurrency and things like that, like things are accessible to everybody, right? We can all go on social media and say our voice can be heard, right? Not just, you know, the people who are have these platforms. So so we can't go back. It's right now we're and that's what, you know, and it's funny because that's what Putin wants to do. He wants Imperial Russia back.
Mm.
He said it. Yeah, he said it out loud.
Dudes are like,
that's why he's on. I know he's losing.
We need to go back to imperialism. We need to go back to the patriarchy. We need to go back to, you know, religious leader being in charge and setting the narrative. It's like, dude, just, it's so tired. Like, shut up.
No, the goddess is rising. The goddess is coming back. You know, we've had the male god, you know, now we're going to have, you know, like, queen.
Well, I don't know. I don't totally agree with that. I think we've always had the goddess. It's, she's always been there behind the scenes. And the other thing is that as much as I want to idealize the air, again, it's an emphasis on the mind. And and based on what I see on social media, we are basically at infantile levels of the mind. And so at this point, it's extremely important that people start taking care of their mind the way they would if they were an athlete with their bodies, and that it's quicker. And we can prove it's quicker because of people being able to say things and things go viral in 2 seconds. But the mind, it scares me to tell you the truth. I would like to. I used to be an optimist, but the level of transference and projection and opinions and that are not based on any, like everyone is an expert on everything. And I said, you can't be an expert on everything. Why do you want to be? Can't you say, I don't know. I really don't know about this topic. Let me go learn. And I'm concerned about the air. And I have a lot of air. I have Aquarius rising. And I know how hard. And again, I looked at my journals in 1991. Oh my God, my mind. I mean, I'm amazed I'm alive. And at least I was honest. I mean, I thought, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that. And I said, I can't let anyone ever see that. You know, it's just so funny. But I'm so glad I did, because that was my way of seeing just what was really going on inside me. And yet, if you'd looked at me outside, I looked like a perfectly nice person. Everyone seemed to like me. And so what's going on inside is not always what is going on that you think with people. So this is something that really concerns me, is that I don't see the evidence. I feel like that more Leo ego thing is active, in that people want, you know, Leo likes to be seen. And I want to, you know, which is fine, but why not be seen for something that's really connected to you? You know, like, you know, whatever that is, like I'm a dog sitter, you know, or whatever it is. And I guess I'm really, you know, not optimistic yet about where we're going with these air planets.
The dark side of Leo is not just that they want to be seen. They want to be worshipped. You know, that's, they'd want to be adored, and they want to be, they're better, they're supreme, you know, and that's the dark side. And we're, like I said, we're moving away from that Leo to into the Virgo, where we're all sort of more, you know, we're more connected as, you know, as because of Earth.
Right. And it's not like, I mean, every single sign, there's a shadow side of everything. The dark side of Virgo is how critical they are, but you know, it's still, it's an energy shift. It's, you know. And I think that that's what's so frustrating about now, is the people trying to hold on to, like, not wanting to roll with change that needs to happen.
Oh, you know, people never want to change. Yeah. It's interesting to me that you were talking about what you were talking about, Krista, about mind, because how much now are we talking about intelligence? artificial intelligence. It's like it's everything. We're beginning to see like, whoa, this is like it is the genie's out of the bottle now.
Yeah.
And to me, artificial intelligence is very, very much an air sign problem.
It's a total air sign problem.
It's like, and okay, it is that
And like you said, everyone's an armchair expert. Everyone's like, well, I did my research. Do your own research. Everyone thinks they're so educated because they saw a YouTube video, you know, like it's everyone thinks they're smart.
Well, we're having to kind of have this moment too. If you think about this with intelligence, with the AI, what's happening? It's triggering all of this fear in our minds that, oh, we're not the supreme intelligence anymore. It's all about, oh, is it going to, you know, figure out that it's smarter than us and then rule over us? Because that's what our mind is, right?
As soon as you introduce
the idea of supremacy,
right?
There you have it. It's like, there we go. So that's what we're afraid of now, losing supremacy to this artificial intelligence, which we created.
Ironically.
That I think the wars will be fought more in the air in that sense, more with intelligence and more with, communications and, you know, propaganda, you know, our ground wars. I don't think they're going to be we're going more into an air war time.
Right.
Space wars.
We have a lot of theoretical like battles of, you know, just even in social media, that's very like, I'm going to sit here and make comments, you know, and that's my fight, you know.
Well, that's when you democratize everything. Everyone's like, oh, hey, I got to say.
Yeah. Internet trolls. It's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. Where do they fit in? Will they get banished, the internet trolls?
During the A of Air. Oh, no. We can keep feeding them. It's up to us. I gotta stop feeding them.
That's true.
Things.
Yeah, don't feed the trolls. You know what's kind of interesting? This is a little bit off topic, but it was like when we were talking about like just, just the kings and stuff like that. It's very interesting that today Leslie Van Houten is released from prison. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, this Regulus Mars conjunction is live. It's happening right now.
Huh. Yeah, I know. I'm like, she's been for like a long time now. And yeah, it's so crazy. So,
yeah, watch for that. I think we're going to see more and more of that.
That's really bizarre to me, really interesting.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting summer.
Right. It's a hot mess of a summer, I'm telling you. I wanted to spend more time with Black Moon Lilith, too, because, she's here.
Oh,
she's
going to
be. She's going to be hanging out. And I think we're going to get a supercharged dose of that girl power energy on that new moon I just talked about from the new Venus, because Venus and Black Moon Lilith are going to be hanging out with the moon goddess. So we got some girl power coming here. That's what I mean about queens. These are when the queens are coming. And there's a lot of trauma too. We didn't talk about Chiron.
Chiron, they're traumatized and they're pissed.
They've been thrown out, you know, they've been not included. Chiron, we didn't talk about Chiron. Chiron is going to go retrograde the day after Venus goes retrograde. So that's why I was calling it the healing girl summer, because there's going to, I mean, I have, on a personal note, if we're going to get personal, I got separated from my marriage and divorced during the last Leo, the 2015, but the 2007. 2007 one. So every time Venus goes in Leo, I get, you know, it's like that. I go back to my, you know, to that, the traumatization of, you know, separation and all of that, you know. And I think a lot of people you'll feel that, because there's wounds here with Chiron, but it's the healer, right? And Chiron's in Aries, so it's the healer of the self. And the Chiron is hanging out with Venus, and they're cool with that.
I think degree? I mean, Chiron is in, I think the United States chart is almost exactly conjunct its natal Chiron too. We're in our Chiron return in the fourth house.
Degrees.
So, it does seem like it's a good time if you do have trauma or healing come out to allow it to come out to work on it, not, you know, resist it and take the time. And I mean, in general, retrograde can give you opportunities to go more deeply in whatever area it's bringing up for you, whether it's career or love, or and this is where it might help if you knew where where these things are happening in your chart.
Well, yeah, I think people are there with Black Moon Lilith. It deals with shame too, because she, you know, she was, you know, tossed out of the, you know, the garden,
right.
And shamed and shamed and shunned, and she was turned into a demon, and, you know, and that's dealing with shame, coming out of the shame closet. Like a lot of before, if you were going to see a therapist or in, you know, or a psychiatrist, you were shamed. And I remember back in the day, you know, that was a thing. Now, and these young people, they're not ashamed of their trauma. They're not shamed anymore. It's like, I think that's what, I think her being in the light of Venus, you know, it's taking that trauma out and, you know, here it is, you know, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And I think young people today are really good. They go into a therapy and there's no shame. They will tell you, you know, I have severe depression. There's no shame. And that's what is getting, that's part of the healing process.
Good point.
And with Black Moon Lilith and Chiron there, that's why I was thinking that. I think a lot of, you know, these are shame, where shame is, where we're shunned. If you look in your chart, wherever Black Moon Lilith sits, she's the is where you are, there's an internal shame or you feel shunned. That's kind of making it a little basic, but
right.
Yeah, like it's that. And it's like, it's even with like the Venus retrograde energy, the Chiron energy, all of that energy, it's like, it's hard. It's always kind of hard to broadly talk about the personal because it's like so much depends on your chart. And a lot of people might just want to simplify and go like, oh, it's Venus retrograde. Your ex is going to text you. They might.
And they probably will.
But it's like, you know, yeah, that might happen. But it's also like, it is like, where is this in your chart? And what is it? If it's retro, what is it you need to look back on? What is it you need to learn from that? What is it you need to, you know, to work on and reflect on and change? Where do you need to evolve? And if you find that you're repeating a pattern from how, you know, 8 years ago or whatever, then maybe there's something in that pattern that you need to address. And it's not really about what's happening out here, but what's the pattern? What's the thing I'm kind of going back to that I need to just step up and go, how can I change this? How can I not repeat this again in 8 years?
It's really valuable and it's very therapeutic.
Yeah.
Very therapeutic to look within internally and say, oh, wow, yeah, I was there last time. And it's very, it's part of the healing process. You have to look within. You have to go within.
Right. And with the Black Moon Lilith and the Chiron, and if whatever happens, it's like, this feels like a revisit. What hurt you about? What wounded you? What made you feel ashamed? Maybe that's the thing to look at. You know, that Venus is going to illuminate for you.
Yeah, right, I mean, there it is true that if you're tuned into yourself, you can sometimes intuitively sense what's going on astrologically, which doesn't mean that you shouldn't use your chart, but that does happen to people. They'll sort of arrive at the astrological door and say, this is what's happening to me. I felt drawn to get a reading. And they're like, well, this is exactly why, you know? So if for people that don't maybe know their birth time or that kind of thing, you can just also do something where you're just sort of sitting and seeing what you feel, what are the themes coming up naturally in your life? What are those themes? Do they remind you of something 8 years ago, 16 years ago? Because we can start to see patterns at a certain point, you know? So
It's all cyclic. It's all cyclic. Yeah. In other words, it keeps coming around. Time is not a straight line. It's not linear. It doesn't go past, present, future. It's a circle or a spiral. And we keep going around and around. It's a wheel. It's a wheel of time. So we get, you know, it's not like, oh, we're going backwards. It's like, no, it's, and it's that, oh, it's regressive. It's not regressive. It's part, you start, you know, you're going back to the same place, but you're a little further along the road, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's like,
it's more reflective. If you're, you know, you can make it, you can feel like it's regressive, but really it should be reflective if, you know, you can tune into that more.
But it's not, because every July, it's summer. So it's like, okay, we're going back. It's like, no, this is just part of we're back around here again. Come back around here again. So it's like the hot girl summer or the hot, now we're the healing girl summer. I think it's the trauma queen summer. The trauma queen summer. But I think anybody out there, like, you know, if you're a Leo, right, and you know something of your chart, you're going to look to where Venus, because Venus is in Leo in this retrograde at 28 degrees. And wherever you'll be feeling it, whatever aspects you have to your Venus, you'll be feeling it probably more dramatically than perhaps other people that don't, you know, they can go through it a little smoother, but you'll definitely feel it. I can't see how you don't.
Like, we are out of time now, ladies.
Oh, shit.
So thank you both for coming on, and we had a very lively Leo-like conversation, I think. And thank you all for listening in. Join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together. Have a wonderful week.